Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about some issues today that most will not touch. We're talking about issues today that are highly controversial from the political standpoint. But each and every one of these issues that we're speaking about have deep, deep, deep-rooted implications for our freedom, for our faith, and for our family, and for the future of America. Too many years have gone by with the silence in the pulpits, the silence by Christians, the sense of being a second-class citizen because we name the name of Christ as Savior, looking at it from the standpoint that we need to be silent or else we're going to be demeaned. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a very, very clear statement found in the Word of God. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the Scripture says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So we're going to find that persecution intensifying, and the persecution is coming today through the form and the guise of what is good for our health and how we need to allow the government to protect us. But ladies and gentlemen, we were talking about before the top of the hour news break, this Hillary Rodham Clinton investigation that's ongoing. Now, I'll be frank with you. I thought that when it was transferred to by Bill Barr to John Durham, and for months and months and months, Durham was silent. For years now, Durham has said very little. I thought it was just a methodology of sweeping it under the rug, that it would come to naught, that it would have no end result. And my position still is very, very serious in the question as to whether there will ever be any real prosecution of those that have perpetrated the crime of what I would call a crime against our nation and against our Constitution by Hillary Rodham Clinton. Keep in mind, she didn't do it sequestered. She didn't do it in a blind box. She did it with at the behest, the assistance, and the intervention of the FBI and the CIA and all of the top-level apparatus coming out of the Biden-Obama administration. Hillary Clinton, this article says, he's going to deliver. He's unraveling, speaking of and talking about John Durham, he's unraveling the biggest political scandal in U.S. history. Durham grand jury interviewed 24 people. This article goes on to say, according to Durham and the tech expert Donald Jaffe and his associates exploited internet data from the executive office of the President of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, that is treason, cannot be called anything else, to further their own political agenda, speaking of their being Hillary Clinton and her team. Durham investigators uncovered evidence that shows, didn't say maybe or perhaps, or they think that it does, that shows, that's a definitive statement, Hillary Clinton's team paid for the operatives, and the operatives were to infiltrate the Trump Tower and then President Trump's White House servers to link Trump to Russia. And it goes on to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, in great detail in this massive article about that. And I'll just read you another blurb from it. John Durham has interviewed 24 people in the grand jury, to include, listen, CIA case officers, FBI agents and directors, leadership in the Clinton campaign cycle, and they've indicted her lawyer. Goes on to say, indictments, once they start coming in, Michael Sussman, Mark Elias. Mark Elias is the genius at challenging elections on behalf of the Democratic Party. Mark Elias stated, in fact, back in October of last year, that the upcoming election in 2022 and 2024, that they're going to have thousands of lawyers across the nation ready to file suit to block anything that would smack or would seem to be an election progress or success for any Republican. Mark Elias, named in this, were the lead attorneys for the Clinton campaign. They were paid millions upon millions of dollars to perpetrate the Steele dossier fraud. And now we know that they were paid millions of dollars to go out and to buy false information from tech executives. And here's the worst part, this writer says. They secured a sensitive arrangement with someone in government. Listen, for them to get into the White House server, they had to have had an inside track. And this writer says they secured sensitive arrangements with someone in government to gain access to the White House servers. This means that someone in government gave them permission and paid the contracting technology company, the firm allowed to work and carry out their investigation and their spying on his internet. They could only have done this with the utilization of the intelligence community willingly participating. James Clapper and others, ladies and gentlemen, that when under scrutiny by the Senate committee, massaging his forehead, said, wondering if he knew anything about it, if he'd had anything to do with it, says, not wittingly. I reckon he could say unwittingly or stupid on a stupefied basis that he did, but he said not wittingly. This article goes on to say quickly, This could only have been done with the utilization of the intelligence community willingly. And that, to me, is the biggest criminal scandal that we know of in American history, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it is evident today that Hillary Clinton built the gallows. Hillary Clinton's money bought the material. Hillary Clinton's prestige and position and thinking she'd be elected built the apparatus by which they were going to hang Donald Trump. And they've done a good job of persecuting and prosecuting the man since he announced for public office. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know in the history of the United States of America any other human being that's been so maltreated, so mistreated, so abused simply because he wanted to serve the nation as president. No one else could have taken what the man has taken, in my opinion. I believe that God divinely intervened. It was set up and scheduled for Hillary Clinton to win. Hillary Clinton, as far as they knew, were going to win. In fact, all the newspapers that already pre-printed the headline news welcoming Madam President Hillary Clinton, according to history past on the subject. It was in the fix, if you will, for her to be president. And she did not. I believe that was divine intervention of God to give America 4 years of an opportunity to repent, 4 years to turn back to God, 4 years to do that which honored God in continuing to serve him. But ladies and gentlemen, we fumbled the ball. We failed as a nation. And I believe we're watching the persecution, the prosecution today of what we call values, faith, family, and our future, along with our freedom, ladies and gentlemen, being washed down the tube as a result of it. Here's an article. Prosecutor has evidence to indict multiple people over the Democratic Russian scheme. Multiple indictments in the Durham Review of the origins of the Democratic now debunked Russian collusion scheme they carried out against Donald Trump, both as candidate and then as president. The Democrats created a conspiracy theory during Trump's first run for office that he somehow connected to and was indebted to Russia. However, a year-long investigation from former FBI Robert Mueller failed to uncover any such evidence of these wild claims. Goes on to say, this is a whole new level of corruption and is of grave concern, said U.S. Representative Mike Turner, Republican of Ohio. The House Intelligence Committee ranking member told a Fox News reporter on Sunday Morning Futures, this is so wrong. And the allegations are such at such a level of illegal activity that goes directly to the faith of our own government. We have to get to the bottom of this or we have lost America, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it deserves our serious prayer, our serious consideration, and serious concerns about where we are going and what is taking place with this. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand where we are as a nation and the serious condition that we're in as a nation. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us again about the Senate Bill 7014 that's now on the governor's desk in the state of Florida for Governor DeSantis to sign. It is a horrible thought, ladies and gentlemen, when we understand what this bill does. I've talked about it two or three times this week, but it's still on the front burner of my mind. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to jump in, you want to ask questions about where it stands with the Durham investigation and Ms. Hillary Clinton, and whether or not she, if you think she's not involved, tell me. If you think she's innocent of any of the charges, tell me. If you think that this is going to be simply another story that's swept under the rug, tell me why you think that. If you think she's going to go to jail, tell me why you come to that conclusion. If you believe that somehow, some way, she's been maltreated, tell us why. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear if you have a different opinion and why you have that opinion and position on it. But, ladies and gentlemen, Senate Bill 7014 is now on the desk of our governor, and it is something that I believe is going to be, it will make a difference in the trajectory and the direction that the state of Florida takes in the next few months and years. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with it, Senate Bill 7014 was signed by, was voted on, and those Republicans, we call the DeVol delegation, Senator Aaron Bean, Representative Jason Fisher, Representative Cord Byrd, Representative Clay Yarber, all, ladies and gentlemen, voted for SB 7014, Senate Bill 7014. So what does Senate Bill 7014 do? Ladies and gentlemen, it continues to give blanket immunity for hospitals and doctors and the entire healthcare establishment that continue to treat COVID patients and families like animals. You heard me. Continues to treat families like animals. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, that if a patient is rated as COVID, it brings in the cash register rings, cha-ching, upward of $100,000, depending on what state you're in across America, coming out of the COVID CARES Fund from the federal government. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, not just the hospitals and the doctors and the medical facilities, but also in the educational system, $200 billion of the CARES money was allocated to the school boards across America. This is the reason school boards are mocking at families, laughing at families, denying any responsibility to families, and disallowing families to have anything to say. It is even the reason that Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the DOJ, said that if a family member stands before a school board and challenges them, they're domestic terrorists. It's because the M-O-N-E-Y. And this Senate Bill 7014, ladies and gentlemen, if it is signed by the governor, it will destroy your opportunity and my opportunity to protect our families once they go into a hospital. Hospitals today take the philosophy and the attitude that they're my patients, we're in control, we can do with them and their bodies and treat them and their families as animals, and we can do it without any recrimination whatsoever. I believe we have Greg on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
I'd like for folks to actually pull that legislation up. And certainly, I hope Governor DeSantis does not sign this. However, I believe that, you know, your big pharma, your mega hospital groups have so much sway in this system that he'll likely sign it. Obviously, they give massively to these Senate and House campaigns. They give massively to gubernatorial campaigns. They have lobbyists crawling all over Tallahassee, all over Capitol Hill. They dominate in a fashion that I never thought in my lifetime that they would dominate. And now, of course, the language in that bill is what they call substantial compliance with government-issued health standards. Mm-hmm. So if the government issues a standard, it doesn't matter if that standard might result in your death. So long as they fulfill or follow substantially that guidance, then they're immune. Now, think about it. Here, the United States spends more money than I believe any other country on earth on medicine. When I say medicine, hospital care, pharmaceutical, health insurance, all the way down the line. We spend, I believe it's more money than any other country on earth on a per capita basis. Yet we fall behind third world countries when it comes to case mortality rates on COVID. Why is that? Mm-hmm. Why is that? This remdesivir that's given to folks, supposedly the initial approval was based on it could get people out of the hospital 5 days early. However, one person after another that I hear they're in the hospital, by the time they've gotten their fifth, sixth, or seventh day of it, all of a sudden they have mysterious kidney failure. Oh, we need dialysis. And that results, that translates into a cascade effect of other issues within that person's body. Why do they continue to give that? Why did they give a 20% bonus through, I believe it's Medicare services, for the administration of remdesivir? Of course, they may call it Vaclary because that's the branded, Gilead name. But why? Why did they hear before they voted on this legislation? Did they have a hearing to deal specifically with the components of the CDC? I believe it's the CDC protocol. It's supposed to be like a 200-page long document. Doctors and hospitals seem to no longer be practicing medicine. They're just following centralized controls and commands.
Now, Greg, as one doctor in a curt tone said to me, and we were sitting in his office while he was checking my wife. He happened to be a skin physician, a dermatologist, and we were told that we must wear a mask. And I reminded him of our previous conversations of having researched hundreds and hundreds of articles that masks have no effect on stopping COVID. And he, with a de facto statement, said, well, we follow the CDC protocol in this office.
Oh, help me.
And that's the mindset. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of what's right, what's wrong, what's medically and scientifically proven or true. We follow the CDC protocol. And Greg, and I say to you and to our listening audience, it's because if you go back and check that doctor's financial records, you'll find that they adhere to CDC protocol because it cha-ching puts money in the cash register every 30 days. And if they're doing it based on the CDC protocol, they have to give a report every 6 months back to the federal government that they're following that protocol in order to get the next 6 months' donations back to their accounts.
The level of dictatorial commands, the authoritarianism that we see rising, and the centralized controls, anyone that has studied any history, that should scare folks to death. The idea that the federal government could grab so much power, bureaucracy could grab so much power. We have, 250 years ago, we had the tyranny of King George. Today, we have a tyranny of this great bureaucracy. I had Jody Lee, a fellow that would show up for board meetings all the time, years ago say, Youngblood, you seem jaded, or you're just jaded. And I'm going, how do you think I got that way? I know how the system is working. I know that these agencies that we pour billions of dollars into, they're not doing the things that the people think that they're actually doing. Think about this. So we have a nameless, faceless bureaucracy. We say the CDC says X. No, the CDC is not human. The CDC is not artificial intelligence. The CDC doesn't talk. These are doctors and bureaucrats and lawyers that are making decisions that affect the welfare of the entire United States and potentially around the world, the impact is seen. And, centralized control, centralized powers have always gone sideways. When Stalin did it, when Mao did it, and when Biden does it, when Trudeau does it always goes sideways, always. Under Mao, we're looking at the Great Reset. If you listen to these folks today, they want to, reset our entire order internationally. But you had the Great Leap Forward under Mao, and I guess the 50s, maybe 60s, some say that carried way on through. But early on, Mao decided centralized power should control when farmers plant, when they harvest, where they plant, all the way down the line. And think about how perverse some of this stuff was. They would set out, you'd have managers that would manage farms, and they'd tell farms, hey, you need to have this much yield. So, however many bushels of yield of grain is your target. Now, because they were told when to plant, when to harvest, where to plant, and all this, and how to irrigate by the managers, think about this, the managers, federal government, bureaucracy, CDC, FDA, the managers are dictating when to do these things. And the farmers are going, hey, we shouldn't do it this way. Nope, you listen to us. We're the managers. All of a sudden, they've got a crop yield estimated. That's their quota. You got to meet your quota. And they would come at 80% of quota. So they're 20% short. But their managers reporting back to the central authorities would say, everything worked great. We're 130% yield. We're 30% over quota. We're doing, because they didn't want to report, hey, we messed up. We didn't meet quota. And then the centralized government would say, that's great. Send us your 30% surplus. So all of a sudden, they were only at 80%. 30% gets taken away. They're down to 50%, and that's what they get to live on. Why do you think millions of people starved to death under Mao? Centralized. Now, we could ride that pony for a long time. I could explain a lot of what's gone on in history and how evil centralized power is, but our founding fathers knew how dangerous centralized power was. That's why they created a constitution and a very limited federal government.
We don't have a limited government, federal government today, Greg. As you know, they've gone outside the bounds of our Constitution. In fact, when it comes to the Bill of Rights, President Biden, Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, as Rush used to call him, has not got any idea. In fact, he says with the Bill of Rights, there's no guarantee of it continuing or no guarantee that it should remain. And he's taken that approach. Greg, let me ask you a question. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg, one of our four sons. I'm thankful that he has taken time out of a busy schedule to join us today, and I'm looking forward to the communication and conversation. And if you want to jump in the midst of this, ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Greg, I'm looking at a statement from Dr. McCullough, which has been an advocate against remdesivir and the COVID jabs. And Dr. McCullough gives us, gives us a stark and clear summary. Remdesivir has two problems. First, it doesn't work. Second, it kills people, end quote. You can't get any clearer than that. It doesn't work and it kills people. But yet, the thing, Greg, that our listeners need to understand is if this bill, Senate Bill 7014, is signed by Governor Ron DeSantis, if it is signed, it will limit what we can do as citizens in the state of Florida. It will continue the fraud perpetrated on citizens. It will continue to kill patients. It will continue to treat families and clergy as dogs and outsiders. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me touch on this, and then Greg and I will continue our conversation. What you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see that bill vetoed, there's a need to pick up the telephone and call the governor's office. 850 is the area code, 1-850-717-9337. The governor's office in Tallahassee, 850-717-9337. Ask the governor, whoever you talk with, you're not going to be able to get through to the governor. Whoever you talk with, if you can't talk with a live body, leave word on their voice system. Ask the governor to, quote, please veto SB 7014. Please veto SB 7014. This bill, ladies and gentlemen, and you need to tell the governor this bill, if signed into law, will be a slap in the face of every Floridian. It will be a slap in the face for our ethical, moral rights. It'll be a slap in the face for us as our patient's Bill of Rights guarantees us the opportunity. It cancels, it circumvents the patient's Bill of Rights. So, Greg, I am thankful that we can at least call, and I'm prayerful that somehow, some way, that will be intervened. Let me switch gears for the last few minutes that we have on this broadcast. Greg, what do you think about what the truckers are doing in Ottawa and in Canada in general? Is Trudeau making the right decision? Where is this leading in relationship to what Trudeau is doing, the prime minister there? And do we see the potential of an overflow of the same type of events and the responses for America?
They have learned, government has learned, that if they put tentacles into every element of your life, if you step out of line, they can tug on those tentacles and make your life miserable. They can tug on those tentacles and shut you down. They can tug on those tentacles and destroy you. And a lot of you have heard that they shut down a bunch of banks last night. I think the thing is a review to see who all is attached to this this dissent, this civil disobedience, this protest that's going on in Canada. Isn't it amazing? They're not burning down towns. They're literally lined up, they're praying, they're fellowshipping with one another, and they're saying, no, please hear us, listen to us, please hear us, don't do this to us, don't exercise these authoritarian, totalitarian dictates, don't act like a totalitarian thug, stop what you're doing, please You know, literally, when you go back to the Constitution of the Declaration of Independence, you had a 33-count indictment, 33 things that King George was doing wrong. And at the end of that 33-count indictment, our founder said, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble of terms, and our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Now, these people aren't saying, hey, we're taking up arms. These people aren't. They're just saying, please hear us and stop dictating our personal health care decisions. Let us make up. Don't do this to us. By the way, most of those truckers are, if you will, vaxxed. I mean, that's a bad word. You know, they've already taken the jab. All right. Why in the world do we need to force people? Matter. A lot of folks today that I know have taken the jab, and they're like, no, this was my decision, but I don't believe we should force anybody. And that's what this is about. We're trying to compel this on all these folks at a stage where this is endemic at best, and that any jab today or any booster today is not going to benefit at all. There may have been arguably some benefit early on. Today, there is no arguable benefit when you're dealing with 99% plus Omicron, according to the CDC. I don't know if I believe what they have to say. However, that's what they're saying. So why in the world would they compel this, especially now? Now they're in Canada. Trudeau can't back down from his totalitarian ideology.
Right.
As much as we have angst with China and the way they operate, a lot of these leftists, they love the way China operates. They have absolute dictatorial powers, dictatorial control in every aspect of a human being's life.
That is the sad thing about it, and I'm looking at an article, and we've got about 45 seconds, Greg, but it says, Trudeau declares national emergency to quell truckers' protest. That national emergency is the same as declaring martial law if it were in America. And under martial law, the government can seize your weapons. Under martial law, the government can take control of your bank account. Under martial law, the government can control every aspect of your life by simply dictatorial statements. Greg, give us some good news to wrap up for Christians. What should we do? How should we respond to all of this bad news?
In the midst of all the chaos, we have to always remember Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. So focus on the Lord today in the middle of the chaos.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air, as once again we face the issues.
Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.